Thanks for joining another conversation with SYD Life. We're spending some time over the next few weeks talking about marriage, family, and the highs and lows that we navigate together. We're about to dive into part two of our discussion on building a healthy marriage with Bernie Kelsey and Bill Golly. If you haven't checked out part one yet, you can find it in the show notes below.
I must confess, because I'm a bit of a geek. So before coming here, I thought I might just check to see what ChatGPT or Bard, you know, the AIs would say. I put in, you know, give me your top 10 tips for a good marriage. They would make great partners. They got it absolutely, like they nailed it. I thought, amazing. But, you know, this is one of the things they were saying, that every time marriage, a relationship, you've got to work at it.
It's work. Yeah.
Right?
Good work.
Yeah. So, you know, Bernie, when you said to me you've been married 44 years, did you say?
That's right.
Yeah.
This December.
That's wonderful. What you're really saying is it's been 44 years since we had our wedding.
Yes.
Right? The real question isn't how long have you been together. Mm. The real question is how married are you today?
Mm. Okay.
Because marriage is a living, dynamic relationship.
Yes.
Right? It takes two living people. Once one of you dies, that's it. There's no, the marriage is gone. It's over. It's finished.
Right.
Marriage is a living thing. And so I love to ask people, you know, so how married are you today?
Yes.
And it's really, it throws them. What do you mean? So, well, if you're, you know, resting on this idea that you've got a wedding certificate somewhere, it says you've been married for X long, that doesn't tell me anything about the quality, the nature, the beauty, or the struggle of your relationship. I've known people, I'm very careful not to mention names here, but as a pastor of, you know, several churches, I've known people who've lived together, cohabited, walked into church holding hands, but eventually, because I liked every now and then to speak about marriage, would come and see me.
Right.
I've had people, I kid you not, who said it's been 13 years since we've been intimate. At home, we live separate lives. We have separate interests. We even have separate bank accounts.
Yes.
But for appearance's sake, they walk into church holding hands. That's the only time they hold hands.
Mm.
And
that's sad.
And if someone says, are you married? They'd say, well, yes, we are.
Mm.
But if you look at, well, what's the state of your marriage? Well, I say it's like a corpse, like a zombie.
Yes.
There's nothing left except sheer commitment to cohabit.
Right.
But not actually to share lives or spirit or laughter or, or you know. So how married are you today? That's where you look for the satisfaction. And if you're not satisfied with where the relationship is at, oh, my goodness, what is better than knowing that you are loved? Than knowing that someone's got your back and will always come back to you, come home to you in this exclusive, beautiful, upholding, uplifting way.
Mm.
What can be better than that? Mm. A faster car? A better job? Well, you know, kudos to you if that's what you get off on. But for most people.
Yeah, it's the desire to be loved, cherished,
seen,
heard. And, of course, the challenge around that too, if you're saying this question, how married are you, and this living, dynamic relationship, how do you address the situation now in this current world that we live in? You just said you checked out AI, but I mean – I don't know about you, Bill, but I've been in many restaurants and situations and I've seen couples there dining together and the whole time they're both on their phones and you're like, well, they're out together but they're not actually together.
Mm.
It's the distraction that we're contending with. There's busy lives, busy worlds that you're dealing with, but then there's this distraction thing right in our hand.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, distraction is one of it, is one way to interpret that. I think another way or another thing that happens when people are on their phones is, and to be absolutely honest, Steph and I have experienced this where we've gone out on a date night or something together and it's like, we've been together so long and we know each other so well, what's left to talk about? And especially, you know, when you make it fun and say we're not allowed to talk about the kids or work, well, oh, heck.
Oh.
What are we going to talk about?
Plan the next holiday.
Right? That's always a winner. So, but the word plan is what I want to pull out of that.
Yes.
And that is, okay, we all know it's important to invest in our relationship.
Yep.
We all know that quality time together and, you know, away from all the distraction and actually having time to be romantic and to show love in a way that perhaps we can't when we're at work or with the kids around.
Yep.
If it's important to you, you'll plan for it.
Yes, yes.
All right. Let me give an illustration. In a lot of the sex therapy books, they'll say to you, when does lovemaking begin? Does it begin when you go into the moment when you're in the bedroom? Does it begin, you know, when you take your clothes off? When does lovemaking begin? Well, they all say, yeah, usually it begins like the day before. Or,
exactly.
You know, and there's this lead up. There's this preparation, this anticipation, this letting the other partner know you're thinking of them, you're desiring them. I think it's exactly the same with relationship. Now, I'm bad at this. So full confession, I'm not the, you know, probably the best person to speak into this space, but I do know that when Steph and I have a date or have plans to be just the two of us, my heart is excited.
Yes.
I so look forward to having her to myself. And I've learned that, you know, periods of comfortable silence aren't a bad thing, but there's always more to her than I know. And to this day, she surprises me. So if I plan if I plan my questions, if I plan the interaction, if I'm intentional, then I'm going to enjoy it a whole lot more rather than just thinking, well, we've gone to dinner, you know, I booked the restaurant and that's all I've got to do.
But it's a constant curiosity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Toward each other.
Yeah.
We're both growing individually.
Yeah.
Therefore, we're growing hopefully together.
Yep.
And so it's a constant discovery.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask yourself, are there things about you that you would want your partner to prod and ask? And or do they actually absolutely know everything about you? I'm not sure that that's even possible. Because you're such an incredible being, all of us. We're so complex. There's so much that makes us. So, you know, even just sitting here talking with you now, I'm thinking, yeah, there's some things I would love Steph to kind of scratch around in that space that I, if I had the courage to share those. Now she can help me here. She can give me the courage by asking, but asking in a safe way.
That's good.
And so I can do the same for her, perhaps ask in a safe way.
Yes.
Because, you know, we all have our patterns of interacting, don't we?
We do.
You
know? And they form pretty quickly, don't
they? Yeah. You can fall and you just fall into those patterns of conversation and, but yeah, just making that decision, well, let's just break out a little bit here and explore this incredible person that God's put into my life because I'm sure there's more. Yeah, and there is. There's always more.
We said that at the same time.
That's right. We've been married a long time. Not to each other.
Not to each other. Let's make that clear.
Absolutely.
I was thinking too about probably some of the young couples. Recently I was talking to a young person and they were at an event and they were with some young mums at this event. And and they, in the conversation, just it kept coming up that there was this, you know, the mums at home with little ones, new baby, a toddler, what have you. And one of the things that really came out of these spending time together was the amount of loneliness that they were encountering. Husband is away, he's working long hours, you know, they may be financially okay, but then there was this sense, this deficit in their lives of I'm feeling really lonely. I'm married. Mm. I've got kids. I've got all this busy world happening, but I feel lonely.
Mm.
So I thought that was just interesting that marriage, you know, in one sense does deal with our loneliness, but in another sense it actually doesn't.
Yes, and I think particularly if you're the parent who has the care of the little ones, and
yes,
usually the mum, but it can be dads as well.
Yeah.
Look, I think one of the things we need to say is that life is about seasons, and no season lasts forever.
Great. Yeah.
So within marriage, there will be times where, because of circumstances outside you or your partner's control, you have to dig deep.
Yep.
And
it's another growth point, isn't it?
It is another growth point, but that doesn't mean it's easy.
No.
You know, it's the kind of thing that can break you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think being conscious of it and learning to see purpose in your suffering, purpose in your aloneness, and then reframing how, you know, what you're going to do with that alone time. I'm a fan of this old psychiatrist named Viktor Frankl. He wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning, while he was in a concentration camp.
Yes.
And he talks there about how those who can find meaning in their pain,
yes,
are much more likely to survive and to thrive than those who simply throw their hands up in the air and say, I'm over this, I'm sick of it, I can't deal with this. That's never helped anybody, that attitude. So it comes back to what we were talking about before, about reframing difficulty.
Yes.
And this is another one of those situations where, okay, you might wish your partner was at home, but if that's the only income, then be careful what you wish for,
exactly,
because you could find you're jumping out of the frying pan into the fire, because now you're both at home, but you know, you can't pay your mortgage, you can't put food on the table, and different stresses come in. So we don't want to romanticize everything and say, hey, there's always a happy answer for everything. Life can be difficult, and we need to acknowledge that for many people out there, it is going to be tough, and it may break their relationship. That's just the reality. The stats don't lie.
That's right.
But for many of us, when those seasons come, if I can look at my situation and see it as, first of all, it is a finite season. This does not define me. This is not who I am. This is not who I intend to be for the rest of my life.
Yes.
But this is the pathway that I have to go through. And if I can just take it one day at a time, and if I can be open and speak with my partner, not as the enemy, but as my fellow traveler, the one who's on this journey with me.
Yes,
and
beautiful.
Probably feels the pain in a different way to me, but, you know, we're in this together. We made that commitment. So I would encourage anybody who's in that situation, you will come out of it. It's That's not right. a lifelong sentence.
That's right.
Right? But in
hope.
The meantime, be open, be honest, trust your partner, and if they respond in a way that isn't helpful, don't give up. Go back, help them hear you, help them see you, and you can do that by seeing them and hearing them.
As well.
So having those times where you sit and chat over a bottle of wine or some chocolate, definitely with the TV off, and it's just checking in with each other regularly. How are you traveling? You know, for the partners of young mums out there, you know, dude, get out there and check in with her.
Yes,
because things are not always as they appear on the outside. She might look fine, but she might actually be in a world of pain on the inside. Ask the question. It's an act of love when you do.
Yes. I like that, the regular check-ins.
Yeah.
And then that reminds me of another thought, really, is that we have short accounts, you know. It's like I think when you do the regular check-ins, then you're keeping the short accounts. So things aren't building, and, you know, suddenly you have your big annual holiday and it's a big blow up because everything's been building on the inside. And but to keep that the pump primed, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm a big fan of there's an expression we talk about, course corrections. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever played like what do they call them, those games like, you know, PlayStation or Xbox, the controllers on those things, right? My gosh, my kids, if you could make money out of that, they'd be millionaires. But I tried it because, you know, I'm a geek and I thought I could do this, you know.
Yeah.
But tried using those controllers and I'd make, you know, the racing games, make a course correction and I'm in a tree, I'm hitting the side walls, I'm all over the place. And then what the heck, what's going on? I'm doing, you know, I'm steering and I realize I'm making overcorrecting.
Yes.
It's just the slightest touch. That's all that's needed, the slightest touch. Yes. And it's like that, I think, when things are wrong in our relationship, don't go for the big course corrections.
Yes.
Just make small course corrections along the way and then build on that.
Yes.
If it's not enough, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You're still closer than you were yesterday.
That's right.
Make another small course correction. But do that in agreement with each other. That, okay, so for example, you know, if your partner just spends money like it's going out of fashion. My wife's the accountant. I'm the shopper. I know.
That's awesome.
Ladies, I'm the shopper.
She set your amounts.
No. She tried and I rebelled. But really, small course corrections, like, so she'll tell me and she'll tell me again and she'll give me notice saying, you know, next month we might, or, you know, with the interest rates going up, we may need to just stop spending. Okay. So giving that small course correction along the way is far more likely to, for, you know, give me time to adapt and to
adjust
and absorb it, believe in it. but ultimately we'll get through it together.
Yes.
Whereas making big adjustments, no, you can't spend any money, that's it, I'm taking your credit card. Well, that ain't going to end well, is it?
Oh, no, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, and anything to do with relationship, small course adjustments.
I love that.
It takes us time to adjust.
It does. It takes all of us time. One of the things that I think has come up as a question is the in-laws. The in-laws question.
Oh, the outlaws,
yes. The outlaws, the in-laws. So shall we go there, Bill, and chat through that space a little bit?
Sure. Yeah.
What's your wisdom around that for couples?
Yeah, look, there's a cultural question there as well. So I understand, for example, if you're from my background is Egyptian. So from an Egyptian point of view, you know, marry me, marry my family. And, of course, often, you know, in-laws can be quite invasive, but that's a cultural thing.
Right.
Look, I think the best wisdom I could give here is actually something that comes out of the Bible, because I think it says it so succinctly and so beautifully. And it, although it's speaking to the man, it actually is speaking to both the man and the woman. And it says this, when a guy gets married, he will leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one.
One.
And it's this idea of it's not dishonoring your mother and father, but there is a leaving and a necessary leaving. And that means I was joined to my mum and dad. I was dependent on them. They were my world when I was a boy. But I'm now a man, or I'm now a woman. And I'm now forming a new family.
That's it.
And so I need to be joined primarily to this family.
Yes.
And so that doesn't mean I don't love my parents, but love does what is right, not whatever it feels. That's a really important thing.
Yes.
Love chooses what is good, not just whatever feels good.
Well, that's that consumer thing again.
Yeah,
isn't
right.
It? Like,
so I need to make my wife, my children, or my husband and my children, they are the priority.
They're the priority.
It has to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the opportunity to have very honest, very careful and loving conversations with the culprit, whether it's father-in-law or mother-in-law or both, and to say, we love you, we want you in our future, but these are the boundaries.
Yes, it's a big word, isn't it?
That's the boundaries word. Now, there's some great material people can read. I think Henry Cloud wrote a lot of stuff on boundaries. You can Google it. But we're not very good sometimes at setting boundaries. But what the Bible is telling us is, well, you do. You need to set a boundary here.
Yes.
It's a new family and this is your priority. Now, look after your mum and dad in an appropriate way. But look after your wife and kids as your number one priority. So learn how to be clear about your boundaries, to articulate them to your family and to your partner.
Yeah, I think you've got to be in agreement together, haven't you?
Absolutely. And that word boundaries applies to how we use money. It applies to what we're going to be, you know, as a couple when we're together. Do you need personal space? I need to know your boundaries. Do you need, you know, if you're an introvert, you need time alone. Me, I'm like, that's just hell, you know. But for Steph, she loves it when I go away for work. Hey, I get the bed to myself.
Time.
You know, she right, I'm learning her boundaries. And as she articulates them clearly to me, I learn what makes her happy and what makes her thrive. So boundaries is just such a you should do a podcast on boundaries. It's massive.
Yes, that's a big topic. Very important one. I guess with the just the family dynamics again, just staying with that just for a moment, I just saw the title of a book called and this is for parenting older children. Keep the welcome mat out and your mouth shut. It's advice to all the the grandparents and the parents out there to let their kids to know that actually it's more about the welcome of them as opposed to us in interfering or pushing our life or our thoughts upon how they're living or running their lives, and keeping your mouth shut, you know, and just, you know, this is prayer for them. As opposed to instruction all the time. We had our day of instructing and we just, I guess we just sit in a place where we're here for them. But we're not telling them how to do this because this is their relationship now and they're forming this new family, finding their way in life.
That's right. And don't quote me on this, but someone once said something like this, that communication verbally is like 10% and it's like 90% is nonverbal and it's what we've modeled, what we exude in our lives. And so honestly, if you've got to tell your kids, if you're the, you know, the parent of a young couple who've gotten together, getting married or whatever, and you've got to tell them how to live life, then you clearly don't have much confidence in how you've raised your children, because really by now they've watched you, they've modeled, they've learnt. So yes, I hear you. We don't need to be speaking into their lives that way. That's having said that, when your kids come to you and ask, what a privilege it is,
isn't it,
to be able to speak with grace and wisdom. But that's a very different thing to telling them.
Yes, absolutely. Wait to be asked. Fantastic. Wow. This has been so rich.
Oh, I'm glad.
Bill, fantastic. So much wisdom. And I was thinking as you were chatting, we didn't actually let everyone know that your career path, really, you started out in social work. This is why you're so good at what you do, I think. You've got all that history of training in your background.
Well, thank you. Like, yes, social work and family therapy was kind of the training. But I was, honestly, I was way too young to really know what I was learning.
but then you've lived it out in your own relationships and that's really, it's been so rich, so wonderful. So
thank you.
We just hope that this has helped a few people today.
Well, look, I reckon, you know, sometimes things get prompted in our minds, don't they? Yeah. And you know, if I could say one final thing to, you know, if this has anything we've said has really stirred anyone, the point of this is not to for you to feel ashamed or guilty or feeling like, oh gosh, they're talking about me, I've failed. It's actually be inspired.
Yes.
Be inspired. You're normal. You're normal.
Yes.
If you find it hard, if there's conflict, if there's difficulty, it is like that. But we just want to help you tweak your thinking so that you don't run into a brick wall, a dead end, and lose something precious prematurely.
That's right.
It may or it may not work ultimately. But at the end of the day, you don't want to have regrets. At the end of the day, you want to know, you know what? I did all I could to give love its, you know, I gave love my everything. And if for whatever reason, and it does happen, for whatever reason your partner doesn't respond, doesn't reciprocate, that's okay. Life will go on and you will recover and you will move on and, you know, hopefully joy and love will come back into your life in another form. But for those who find that, yes, my course corrections are working, wonderful. Stay patient, stay faithful, keep at it, because this is making you into the incredible person that you are, and you are incredible. Just believe it.
Just believe it. There's always hope.
Absolutely.
Always hope. I love something that Tim Keller said, you know, that marriage is glorious, but it's hard. And so I think in just that statement, it's just stay in it, stay working on it. You're not failing, you know. Like you said before, it's not the end. It's just a learning. So keep going.
Amazing.
Great. Bless you, Bill.
Thank you.
So great having this chat. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Such a great conversation with Bernie and Bill. We hope you've been encouraged by their stories and able to take some wisdom home into your relationships today. Stay tuned as we continue in our marriage and family series over the next few weeks. Thanks for joining us.